On more than one occasion, our Lord told those who were not exactly friendly to him that they were part of a generation that would not receive any sign. No sign, no miracle, no miracle, no sign of God's love. And very often people on hearing this wonder, am I committing a sin to pray for a miracle? The simple answer is no. That's not what our Lord said. We forget one key phrase. Those who were asking a sign of him in order to test him, in order to put him on trial, to sit in judgment on the Lord God. Give me what I want, I'm not going to believe in you anymore. Give me what I want, or that's the end of you. Our Lord never once condescended to curry the favor of those who sought to put God on trial. We must keep in mind, our dear Savior is the Son of God, is equal to the Father. We are not. We owe a great deal to our Lord and Creator for all the wonderful blessings he has showered upon us. But as the old theologians used to say, the relation is not mutual. God does not owe us anything. He does all this out of his generosity. Now, if you keep in mind the second thing, the first time that the Lord refused to work a miracle was not at the request of another human being, sinful as they might be, hypocritical as they might be in the case of the Pharisees. But it was the old tempter himself, Satan. 40 days fasting in the desert after his baptism, our Lord was tempted by the devil. And the devil is a very clever theologian. The Holy Father, in a recent book on Jesus of Nazareth, points out that Satan is the model for many people who pretend to know what the scriptures mean. And you call the second temptation that our Lord at the pinnacle of the temple said, go ahead, come on, jump off, don't be afraid, you're the Son of God, aren't you? Well, the Father will save you. You come floating down and land on a very soft mattress. Put it in modern terms. Now, Lord simply said, it is written. Answer scripture with a scripture. It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. We never ask for a miracle with the thought in mind or possibly expressed, well, if you don't give it to me, it's the last you hear from me, you're worthless. There's another way of asking for a miracle. Perhaps if I take an extreme case, we'll see exactly the point that our Lord is making, that he does intend to work miracles and signs for all of those who are moved by humility, who truly want to believe, or because they believe so profoundly and hope in him, they have no doubt about his mercy. They don't presume to tell him how he should answer the petition. They know that whatever answer comes will be the very best. The good thief. He told his companion, listen, stop crabbing. Stop trying to do damage control. Because the bad thief was bad because he asked for a miracle to test Jesus. Come on, get me down from the cross. Get me out of this hole. Why, I'll even consider being one of your disciples. Surprisingly, the Pharisees and the priests at the foot of the cross said, come on down, you saved others, didn't you? You rose, you made the dead rise. Think of Lazarus, whom they wanted to kill a second time, just to prove he never rose. Now, that's not exactly logical, but that's exactly what they thought they would be able to pull off. And the good thief said to the bad thief, listen, you know both of us deserve this and more for all the wickedness that we have done. Evidently, they were not exactly very pleasant persons to live with. But he said, we should be begging him for mercy. He is dying, he's being put to death unjustly. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He didn't specify what he would, just remember me. Remember to bring me with you. Even the last place would be a stupendous privilege. And our Lord replied, this day, in a few moments, thou shalt be with me in paradise. You could not get a better miracle. And here we see that even for those who ask out of the wrong motives, like the Pharisees who asked for a miracle, only to test him, only if they could sit in judgment on him. Is this all you can do, buddy? Why do you think we ought to believe you? Sign of the cross. And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all to myself. If we will accept that sign, however wicked our sins may have been, whatever be our present frame of mind, I refer to nobody here, but we just simply say, whoever it is, if you would accept the sign of the cross, that is precisely by dying to self, that we shall find life. It is by forgetting ourselves we shall come to know ourselves and love ourselves and love our neighbor as ourselves, to love in the right way, not selfishly but generously, to recognize that the way to happiness, the way to salvation, passes by Calvary through the cross. St. Peter remarks in his first letter, for heaven's sakes, if you have to suffer because you've committed a crime, don't blame it on God. But if you suffer willingly, merely because you are one of his, your only violation of the law is to have preferred to obey God rather than men, leap and jump for joy. Blessed are those who suffer persecution, mockery, and death itself for my sake and for the sake of the gospel. The kingdom of God is theirs. This is the stupendous miracle, and all the other miracles come with it. We may go back and once more say it's a good thing to pray for ourselves if we are sick and suffering, if we are suffering from a cancer, heart disease, or how many other horrendous diseases, one of the most fearful, still one of the most fearful, leprosy. Would Jesus hear our prayer? Certainly he will. Would he always restore us to perfect natural good health? Not always. Remember what St. Peter, it's an honor and a privilege to suffer for Jesus, with Jesus, willingly, like Our Lady, who offered her dearly beloved Son, her firstborn, for us, for our salvation. And remember always what the world today is ever denying. When we suffer for Jesus and with Jesus, as an extension, as it were, of the great mystery of salvation accomplished on Calvary, we do the most wonderful thing that we could ever have done with our lives. Our lives are not worthless merely because we can do nothing but suffer, whether it be the little child born handicapped, whether it is the old man or old woman who is writhing with pain, but nonetheless willingly accepts it, to be more closely united with Jesus, and we can say, that man, that woman, that child will hear what the good thief heard and will hear that, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Can there be anything more blessed than to enjoy forever the company of Jesus and Mary and all the holy angels, not the bad ones, we don't want to have anything to do with them, and all those, let us say, millions and billions, and we don't know how many, but there is plenty. but there is plenty of room in our Father's house. Many are the mansions, our Lord assured the apostles on the night before he died. So let us then ask Our Lady as we continue the celebration of the Holy Mass, the sacrifice of Calvary, to help us to be generous, be full of faith and hope, indeed to beg our Lord, her Son and Savior, for the miracles, for the mercy that so many need, without trying to tell God what's the best way to answer the prayer, without assuming that unless he does what we say, we won't believe in him, but always to have that docility, that simplicity of the little children whom Jesus wanted so much. And remember what our Lord said. The one time, I think, in the Gospel it's recorded that he was joyful. I thank thee, Father, I rejoice. I thank thee, Father of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent of this world, who think that the worst thing that could happen to them is to die, when the worst thing that could happen to us is to be separated by Jesus by sin, and have revealed these things to the little ones, to those who are childlike, like the little children. Children of whom? Children of Mary. Let us strive always to be devoted to her, devoted children of Mary, just as Jesus was our Savior. And we will always be in the company of Jesus. Praise be Jesus and Mary.